All right, so we are going to be in the book of Revelation, chapter 3. So Revelation chapter 3 will be one place we're going to be. And then after that, in a little while, we're going to go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Okay? So look it up in your Bibles, your phones, wherever. Take notes. Record whatever it is you do. It's entitled, It's Time for You to Exit the Dead Church. Now, I know that you all are here. You've exited the dead church, so you're here. So we're not telling you exit this church as a dead church. But, and most of you probably understand some of this, but because now I'm going to bring scripture to it, and because the Holy Spirit said present it, I'm going to present it, number one. Number two, I think because it's a recording, I may even put it up on the webpage. I don't know. We'll see. I don't really put that stuff up, but we'll see what the Holy Spirit says, because I kind of feel he's telling me to do that. We're going to come into Revelation chapter 3 that's going to back up what we're saying when we say exit the dead church. And when I make reference to the dead church, some of you have heard my language about that, but we're really going to get into really what that means. And my hope is that you will have an understanding of this idea, term, whatever, so that you could communicate it out there. And when you come across other believers that are out there, you know, and they're talking about how their spirits are stirred and they're not happy where they are in the church they're at, and they feel like the Holy Spirit's like telling them to leave, but they don't know where to go, and all this kind of stuff, you know, you're going to be able to explain to them what they're feeling. That's just what we're going to talk about today. And the interesting thing about that, well, you know, yeah, okay. So I will share a dream that Ruthie had that she shared. So Ruthie had a dream that she shared with us this morning. And in that dream, she dreamt that we were in a warehouse building having church, but there were two platforms instead of one. And there were two platforms, and the worship teams were on the platforms, and the leaders were walking amongst the congregation to minister to the congregation. That was her dream. So pretty much, right? Okay, so the interpretation of that dream is whenever you have a dream and there's a multiple of two in it, it usually is telling you there's multiplication coming, whatever it is, okay? So the fact that she's dreaming in this warehouse, so she's seeing the future of this congregation, because my wife has had dreams, I have too. She's already seen the future of the, now she has this dream of seeing the future of this congregation in a warehouse. And the reason why she's seeing two platforms for worship teams is not because we're going to have two platforms of worship teams. It's because the Lord is saying he's going to be multiplying the worship team. And why that worshipers, the worship team, why that's significant is because one of the first things the Lord told me as we get into this message is that there are many in the dead church, many worshipers, musicians in the dead church that want out. And he's going to bring them out. And he's going to bring them into something that's like this, something that is a church that actually worships God and not as a machine and not as built for people. So in the book of Revelation, chapter, we're going to start chapter 3. The message starts before that, but we're going to read verse 1 through verse 4 to get into our message, okay? So it says this, to the angel of the church in Sardis write, he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars says, I know your deeds, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. Wake up and strengthen the things that remain, which were about to die, for I have not found your deeds completed in the sight of my God. So remember what you have received and heard, and keep it and repent. Therefore, if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at the hour that I will come to you. But you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their garments, and they will walk with me in a while, for they are worthy. So this text that we're reading is, some of you that know some of this in Scripture, it's the place where the Lord Jesus is speaking to seven churches. And he goes through these different churches here. The church we're going to be talking about is the Church of Sardis. And these are actual churches in this time. So they were actually churches that had been birthed through the evangelism, mainly of the Apostle John. And so they had churches in all of these regions. So these are real places. But Sardis is an interesting place, and the word that the Lord brings to this particular church is interesting because it kind of fits into where we are. And that being that although it's written to actual churches, it's also a communication that these churches represent the state of the church at large throughout history. In other words, these seven types of churches, they have seven issues or things that he wants to talk to them about. They're actual churches, but they're actually the way or the state of the church at large, the Christian church at large, throughout history. Throughout history, the church at large, you understand that, has looked like this. And so we come into this one, particularly in Sardis. And this one in Sardis, this is an ancient city in Lydia at the time. It's a chief city in West Asia. And it was a predominantly luxurious place. It was a wealthy place. It was a well-known place. John had evangelized there, and there was a church there. They had evangelism there. They had success there. And they had a region that was actually converted. Now, that being said, this place in modern day is Turkey. So in modern day, this is Turkey, and Turkey, we know, is predominantly Muslim, not Christian. In fact, I don't know if there's even a Christian church there. So when he is speaking to the church at Sardis, the Lord is rebuking the church that's there at Sardis for having a reputation of being alive while it is actually dead. So I want to get into that with you because the title of this message is actually a title the Lord gave me when he told me that we would be leaving the previous church we were at and we would be starting this ministry. And the title of the message is, It's Time for You to Exit the Dead Church. And that can also be in a question on a t-shirt. I may have it on a t-shirt. And the t-shirt might say, is it time for you to exit the dead church? It will also drive to that URL that I was talking about earlier, which is exitthedeadchurch.com, right? So in this place that we're at and in the ministry that we have begun and what God wants to do here is really something that has come out of the Lord saying that the church at large, pretty much, not everybody and all of them, but pretty much the church at large is dead. And what's interesting about this whole thing is as the Lord spoke to me about starting this ministry and exiting that religion, that religious institution, there are certain things that I considered about why people are there and why people won't leave, and what it looks like there. So I'm going to give you six reasons it's time for you to leave the dead church. Again, you that are here, I'm saying this for your sake so that you can share this. One, you can learn what the scripture's talking about, and also you can share with others as it comes to you. All right, six reasons why it's time for you to leave the dead church. Number one, they build up their name. Reason number one, they built up their name. In verse 1, at the very launch of what he says to the church of Sardis, this church in, I'll call it the luxury church, the church that's built in luxury, the church that's in a city known for luxury. So you can imagine what kind of people there, what kind of church there, what kind of atmosphere and whatnot. But in Revelation chapter 3, verse 1, it says there, it says at the second part of that, here's the rebuke, and he says, I know your deeds, that you have a name, that you are alive. I know your deeds, that you have a name, that you're alive. Reason number one, they build up their name. The church today, as I am drawing a picture, and I'm showing you what I have seen and what I have been, sick? No. Sick, okay. Nauseous. In the church, what?
Lethargic.
That feeling of,
Disgust.
Lethargic. Just, nauseous. And seeing that, how that has crept in pretty much every known church, not just in America, because a lot of it's copied in other countries as well, but at large, it is very well known and very well seen. And so it says here, the rebuke is that you have a name, that you are alive. In other words, this is a type of church who is all about reputation. It's all about building that reputation. It's all about making a name for itself. It's all about building that brand up. It's all about everything that they do is to give the impression that we are a lively church. We are a church on the cutting edge. We are a church that is modern. We are a church that is trending or trend. What's the word?
Trendsetting.
Trendsetting, right? And we are a trendsetting church. And look at what we have. We have all this going on, and everything is about our brand. Everything is about our name, and everything is about the perception that we want to push out to the world to say, we are alive. We are alive. We are alive. Look at us. Look at the colors. Look at the lights. Look at the sound. Look at everything. We're alive. Everything you see about us is we're alive. Our colors, our name, our everything that we do is about this presentation that we want you to know this is the place to be because we're cutting edge. We're alive. You can come and we have the newest music and we have the newest sound systems and the newest latest and greatest digital devices. And this is that name that we're building. And this is what the portrayal is of the church today. And it's not just one stream. It's traditional. It's the main denominations. It's Baptist. It's charismatic. It's evangelical. It's prophetic, it's apostolic, it's all of them. And it's not just in America, it's in America and also in other countries because of their name and because of their brand and because of their projection of how awesome they are, their name, their brand, their ways have been copied. They're literally copied into every other church around the world. And it can be a brand new church. It can, listen, when a pastor or a couple or whatever, and they're planting a church, however they're planting that church, they are all trying to decide. I'm telling you from experience because of my church planting experience, planting three churches. I'm telling you from experience that they are all trying to find the template. They're all trying to find what they see, what they want to project, what they want to become. They all have that. They're not just going and starting raw and we don't care about nothing. No, from the get-go, they already have a vision on how they want this thing to be projected out. Are you saying? Are you listening to me? From the very get-go. Some of them already have a pattern. Some of them don't. Some might leave the place they're at and start something, but they're still looking at these successful churches. You understand what I mean by successful churches? The successful looking churches. When I say successful churches, I'm I'm putting the successful church image next to the successful business image. Yeah. You understand? Yeah. So when I say successful, I mean like successful people look. Let me put it to you this way. Successful people look in like California or New York, maybe out here, maybe up in Bentonville, I don't know. You know, not a whole lot, but there's this persona. Are you listening to me? There's this look. There's this persona that they want to have, right? In the world, there's this persona. You see people that are driving these fancy expensive cars, these fancy name brands. I'm talking top down, fancy. And we know this stuff is expensive stuff. But they live in places that are just in the ghetto, are just out there. Why? Because it's all about the image. It's about the image. No matter where I'm from, whether I actually have the money or don't, doesn't matter. Fake it till you make it. That's the one I was trying to think of. Okay, so I've heard that in business, and that crept in the church, and, you know, fake it till you make it, right? And I get some of that, you know. I'm not saying it's all bad. What I'm trying to do is project, I'm trying to give you a projection of how the successful church has taken that successful lifestyle, brought it into what looks like a successful church, and now it's all built this way to project to you and me and to the people at around the world that we are a successful church, because look at everything that we have. And not to say it's all bad either, but I'm telling you, there's an image there, there's a brand there, there's a name there, there's a name that says, look at us, we got it going on. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
You'll hear cool terms. You'll hear cool terms like the house. God is in the house. The presence is in the house. The house. Because it's a cool term. It's a trendy term. So they use terms like that. And I'm not saying it's bad either. I'm giving you the picture, because everything they're pulling in is from the world. It's the same thing, because they're trying to create a name and a brand. And the Bible says here, Sardis gets a rebuke because Sardis is saying, we have a name that's alive. But the result of that is really what the Lord says when he told me, here's the reason why. Because I asked, why do people want to be there? And the Lord reminded me of what he told me when he told me to leave. And he said, start this ministry. And he said, and I quote, by the Spirit of God, this is what he said, they are addicted to the show. So the people that go to these churches, this church at Sardis, this luxury church, most Christians like this kind of church that they're attending, that's like this, that has all these bells and whistles. They like the way that things are done in the church, whether they're traditional, doesn't really matter, modern, it doesn't matter what kind of church, they're all are liking that kind of church, because that church is being built around them. That church is being built for them. Are you listening to me? It's built for them. It's to make them feel comfortable in every aspect. Comfortable both physically and comfortable spiritually. We don't want to offend you spiritually. We want you to be comfortable. So we're not going to address any heavy stuff. We want you to be comfortable physically so that you'll return, because we're trying to grow a church. Are you listening to me? And we need to grow a church because we need the numbers. And we need the numbers because we need the money. And we need the money because this is all a machine, and the machine has to be paid for. Oh, let me just talk to you straight. Can I just talk to you straight? Can I just tell you the truth? Okay. I'm telling you because of where I've been and what I know, what the Lord has shown me and what's going on now, and all this is it. And again, these people are stuck there. They like it there. They are there. I need to communicate this to you. I need you to understand that one reason people are still there is because of this. They like the brand. They like the name. They like that it's hip. They like that it's trending. This is what they like, and this is where they feel good. This is where we feel good, most of us. Okay? But the problem is this. And what I want to say to you this morning, those of you that are here this morning, because we're not doing that. Now, it doesn't mean that when we get to that point, we're not going to have anything. But what I'm saying is, Those churches are built around your comfort. Yeah. My comfort. The comfort of the visitor. Are you listening to me? Yeah. That's why they get the coffee shops. That's why they have the welcoming committee. That's why they have smiles from the day, from the time you enter the door to the time you exit the door. That's why they have everything they have, because they want to make sure that you come back. They have the best childcare. They have the best water. No, not just regular water. It's filtered water. It's clean water. They got the best ingredients. They got the best chairs, the cushioned chairs. You follow me? And I'm not saying all of that's bad, but what I'm saying is, in business, it's the same thing. All that is a business. Listen, my background, if you don't know, my background is marketing. My background's marketing. I've been marketing for years. I understand marketing. I'm telling you that there are words and there are terms used psychologically in marketing and in sales to appeal to the psyche of a person. One of those words is you. So when we would write material up that was sales material, marketing material, we almost always were adding the word for you. Yada, 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 for you. Yada, 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 for you. It will help you. You is a very key term psychologically used in sales and marketing. Okay? So all the church did was take that, and you'll hear the same thing in churches. For you, you'll hear this. You're not conscious of it now, but trust me, it comes from the pulpit. For you. For you and your family. For your kids. For you. You're going to hear that a lot because it's the same appeal. It's the same marketing appeal. It's the same word, same psychology being used. Are you listening to me? So I need to break that off of you because obviously, as you sit here, you're sitting on chairs, metal chairs. You're sitting here in metal chairs. It's not even a couch. Some of you walked in and like, what happened to the couch? In case you didn't catch it, it's right over there. It doesn't work for what we're trying to do, and that is make room for people to come into this house church. Does that make sense? So we're making the decision. That couch is going away. That couch is an awesome couch. I say it's nearly new. My wife says, no, you can't say that. Looks, you know, you got to put, what'd you say? It has to be like used what? Used in good. They have their own, you know, categories, I guess. But I was like, that's a good one. But that thing's going away to make room that's more conducive, because our calling and our purpose is to do what we're doing. This is the ministry. Are you understanding me? I'm not doing so you won't be comfortable. We're doing it because we're trying to make room to do what we're doing. So the next couch and love seat that's coming in is going to be smaller and not something you're going to sink way back into. Make sense?
Yes.
I don't know why I said that. Honestly. My wife's like, you talk too much. All right. So the point I was making is, I'm thankful that you're here. I'm thankful that you're sitting in these chairs. I'm thankful that you're understanding that what needs to come off of your mind, all of us, but what needs to come off of your mind is this that I'm talking about. You are conditioned that way. You have been conditioned by the world, and you've been conditioned by the church that everything should be for you. You understanding what I'm knocking off?
Yeah.
Okay. Here, it's not that, you guys. It's not that. It's not to say we don't love you. We don't honor you. We don't want you. It's to say that that's one of the problems that Sardis had, that luxury, that mindset. Everything's for me, built around me to make my life easy and comfortable. Not to say we're not going to do any of that, but what I'm saying is that needs to break off, because I guarantee you, because of the way you and I have been conditioned, is that a lot of times when things are not right for us in any particular situation, it bothers us. It bothers us sometimes, some of us, to the point that we have to do something or say something instead of just wait it out or sit it out. Are you understand what I'm saying to you? Sometimes we'll be in a situation And we're getting irritable and irritated because this is not the situation that suits me. Because of whatever's going on. My body, my mind, my kids, my this, my that. Not suitable. I don't like it. It's uncomfortable. Too hot, too cold. Too hard, too soft. Too long, too short. Too noisy, too quiet. Y'all get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Am I speaking to anybody in here?
Yeah.
Right? Yes. I'm telling you. We'll go to a restaurant and we'll be sitting in the restaurant and in my mind there's noise going on over here. Like I just know, I don't know if you guys do this. Don't, my wife's good, don't say it. You know, people pay money to go out to a restaurant. I don't want to hear your phone watching a TV or a video on loud. I don't care if it's for your kid or you or grown men. I don't really care. It bothers me. It bothers the heck out of me. But I sit there, I close my mind down, and I tell my mind, I have to do this. Shut up. You understand?
Yeah.
I'm talking to you in real life, right? In this, because we're conditioned that everything around us should be for us to make us comfortable. And if I'm not comfortable, dang it, I'm out of here. And that needs to break off for you in this place. Okay? I'm helping you. Believe me or not, I'm actually helping you. Sometimes, have you seen the video or clip? I don't know where I saw it. The video clip of a church in Africa. There's people in Africa. They're out in the land. It's land and it's raining. And there's this
slab.
There's this slab, right? There's a frame and some roof, a little bit of roof here, but everything else just frame and everything's been destroyed. You could tell it maybe it was burned or destroyed somehow. But these African people, worshipers that love God, are in there and they're worshiping and singing while it's raining through their roof. That's no roof.
Yeah.
Are you understanding? You understand the difference?
Mm-hmm.
People that do that and people like us who it's too hot, too cold, too this, too that. So I'm trying to break all that off of you to know and understand that it's going to come down to another point here. But it's because it's God's house, not your house.
Yeah.
It's not your house. It's not even my house. You listening to me?
Yeah.
It's not even my house. It's not my wife's house, which really is, she's really doing well. All right, so you understand, it's God's house. We consecrated this place. It's his space. It's his place where we come and worship him. Number two. Okay, reason number two, the Holy Spirit has already exited the dead church with a lively name. He says this to him. He says in verse 1, I know your deeds, that you have a name, that you are alive. Notice their deeds are built around that, by the way. The deeds the Lord's pulling out, he says, I know your deeds. All your deeds you're doing, it's all for your name. Did you all catch that, by the way? He says, I know your deeds. It's about your name. It's about your brand. It's about your image. Your deeds aren't winning the lost. Your deeds are just transferring Christians or, you know, the lost that fit your profile.
Yeah.
Oh, come on. Don't even.
That's true.
All right. Here we go. So we come to the second part. It says, you think you have this name that's alive, but you are dead. He says, no, you're dead. Sardis doesn't even know. The church of Sardis doesn't even know that the Spirit of God has left the church. The church is dead. But if it's dead, how can it operate so lively? If it's dead, how can it operate like as though nothing's happened? If you go into it, it doesn't feel dead. It doesn't look dead. It doesn't even smell dead. Are you hearing me?
Yeah.
It smells alive. It looks alive. It sounds alive. The whole thing is projecting, it's alive, but he says, but you're dead.
Mm-hmm.
The Spirit of God is the only thing that can give a church life. That's the point. If there's no Spirit, then there's no life. It's just a machine that's operating. So I asked myself, why do people still stay there? How did they not see this? And part of the reason is, and I think about charismatic churches or the prophetic church or the apostolic church or the spirit-filled church. I'm going now to the Pentecostal side. I'm going to this side over here, right? And they speak in tongues, and they believe on all this stuff, and they have the gifts of the Spirit and all this operating. They have great services, and they have powerful worship teams and powerful worship. So again, I'm not against any of that. What I'm saying is, even these, the Spirit of God has left, but because it operates and functions like a machine, nobody knows it. There are churches where the Spirit of God has left because it operates in a worldly fashion. They're all about the name. They're all about the brand. They're all about the money. They're all about the reputation. They're all about building a business that I already told you last time I spoke on that, where Jesus walks into the temple and he beats everybody. What you may not have caught when he does that, and he says, "You have made my Father's house a place of business." These places are just places of business. They are machines, religious machines that make you think stuff is still happening, but the scripture says you think you're alive, but you're dead. They're dead. They don't even know that the Spirit of God has already departed from there. 2 Timothy chapter 3, don't lose your place here, but 2 Timothy chapter 3, here's the difference, because Paul brings it up and he warns Timothy about it, and he says to Timothy concerning the last days, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through verse 5, as we read through here, the warning that he gives this young man. Verse 1, "But realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God." Stop. Now, when you read that, you think to yourself, he's talking to sinners. You think he's talking to sinners, right? He's not talking to sinners. He's talking to the church. This is written to the church, first of all. Second of all, the following verse says, holding, verse 5, to a form of godliness. He is not writing to, I mean, after reading all that, you think he's talking about sinners. No, he's talking about the church. People that creep into the church who have a form of godliness. They have a form of religion. They have the machine operating so well, when people walk in, it's this religious machine that looks so well, functions so well. Why? Because it has mixture. It has mixture. It has, yes, it has the teaching of the word. Yes, they talk about God. Yes, they have all these things that point people and help people to serve the Lord. But there's mixture in there. And the Spirit of God has left that place, and they work. All this is working as a mechanism, as a machine that's just operating. They don't need the Spirit of God anymore. Do you know that you can have a worship team up there? You can have a worship team up there doing worship, great musicians, leading worship songs. Do you know how some of these churches even function? Some of the larger churches, they got the latest equipment. Man, that would make Brett jealous with the stuff they have. They have these massive, right? These massive, what do you call it? Mixers, mixing boards or production machines, whatever, and they got lighting systems into it, and they got, I mean, everything's plugged in to go all together. I mean, I'm not even kidding you. It's awesome. I like it. It's awesome. Because you got the music going, they got these big backdrops in the music. You'll see the music, the words back there, or colors will go in line with whatever that song is that's happening. The lighting will go in and kick in and out. Everything going along with that thing is a machine. And those musicians are like skilled musicians. And they go through their set, and it is fantastic. And the show is wonderful. And I'm not even saying it's all bad, because a lot of it's really good. What I'm saying is it's so crisp, so clean, that the Spirit of God has left, and they don't know it. Do you know that the musicians, the worship teams can play all that music and not have the Spirit of God? Do you know that many, Brad will tell you, many in those worship teams work outside of that gig, they do other gigs, they do worldly gigs. They're on worldly bands and do worldly gigs. Y'all didn't know that. Many of those churches, those are paid musicians. They are paid to be there. They're not serving, they're paid. And they're paid, and they collect a check, and then they go do other gigs elsewhere and collect checks. I'm telling you how it works. I'm telling you how it works. So they don't have to be sanctified. They don't have to be sanctified to be on that worship team. They just need to be great musicians that understand the worship songs. Is that too heavy for you? Am I pulling back the curtain too much?
No.
Because that's my intent. My intent is to pull the curtain back. All right. So he says they have a form of godliness, but what are they missing? It says in that verse 5, holding a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Avoid. Avoid. Avoid them. They have godliness, they have the show, but there's no power. What is the power in the church? The Holy Spirit. Thus, they have godliness, a form of godliness, but they deny the power. They deny the Holy Spirit. They deny the Holy Spirit. They deny the Holy Spirit. They have all the workings, but when the Spirit wants to have His way, they deny the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit interferes with the machine. Are you listening to me?
That's true.
It interferes with the machine. Let me see your phone. And the problem is that people are attracted to this, not because the Spirit of God is there, but because it's a machine. Are you listening to me? So, I have this word that the Lord gave me back in March 5th of 2024. In my prophetic words, I have it listed as yield. This word came to me back in that back room from 3 o'clock to whatever, and the Lord was speaking to me this message about yielding. There you go. Okay, so watch. I want you to listen to this, because
today is March 5th. The Lord woke me up at 3 o'clock in the morning and has been speaking to me from 3 o'clock to 6 o'clock. Body of Christ at large. This word of the Lord is a command to yield. A command to yield. Out of 2 Chronicles chapter 30 princes, even according to the command of the king, saying, Sons of Israel, turn to the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, and he may return to those of you who escaped and are left from the hand of the king of Assyria. Do not be like your fathers and your brothers who were untrue to the Lord God of their fathers, so that he made them a subject of horror, just as you see. Here is the word of the Lord in verse 8. Now, do not stiffen your neck like your fathers, but yield to the Lord and enter his sanctuary, which he has consecrated forever, and serve the Lord your God, and that his burning anger may turn away from you. That word yield means to give way, to get out of the way, to give, to bend. Verse 10. So the couriers passed through the city, through the country of Ephraim and Manasseh, and as far as Zebulun. But they laughed at them with scorn, and they mocked them. And I heard the Spirit of the Lord say that a decree has been made in heaven now, and that the Lord God has commanded his messengers now to deliver the decree to all the churches of the world to call themselves the people of God. And the Spirit of God is going out to all the churches with the messengers. And the message and the decree is yield. Yield now. It is time to yield to the Spirit. It is time to stop being stiff-necked. Stop resisting the Spirit, because the patience of the Lord has come to an end to those who mock, those who laugh, and those who scorn the Spirit of God. The days of Ananias and Sapphira are here, where the Lord will no longer allow the stiff-necked, the stubborn, the mocking, and the scorning against his Spirit. Judgment is at the door, and the command of the Lord and the decree in heaven is yield to every church, to every believer, to every leader. Yield. Bend. Get out of the way. Give. Because the Spirit of God is no longer going to tolerate the scorning and the mocking. The Spirit of the Lord is not going to tolerate the stiff-necked anymore. So the command is, get out of the way, give, yield, or the power of your Spirit will remove you and make you yield. In chapter 30.
I'm sorry, that sounded rough because I was still sleepy. But that word came to me in 2024, and in a nutshell, the Lord said his messengers, the angels, are going out to the churches. Holy Spirit's dealing with the churches and churches and leaders, and he is now demanding that they yield. Yield to the Spirit, because the Spirit of God was now dealing with the church at large, because they had been rejecting him and resisting him so much that it was like the Lord, I felt the Lord saying, this is your last chance. I'm going to deal with your church individually. I'm going to deal with the church at large to stop, or I'm going to remove my Spirit. And so that was what I felt back in 2024. I'm not a voice. I don't have a platform. So it wasn't like I can go and, you know, speak it to the world. I just knew that by the Spirit of God, that was a prophetic word that God was giving me. And I'm passing it on because I'm saying to you that this is not new. And I'm saying to you is the Holy Spirit has exited many churches. And they look and they function just as though they did when they had the Holy Spirit, because they're just a machine. They're just a religious machine going through the motions, but they do not have the Spirit of God. Reason number three is the Holy Spirit has been telling you to leave. Listen to this, back in Revelation. So this is what the Lord told me, was that there are many people who are stuck and don't know what to do, and we'll be reaching those people. And the command that he gave me when I woke up that morning, wrote all this down, the command he gave me was go and get my remnant out of the dead churches. Listen to this. Revelation 3, verse 4, after the rebuke, verse 4, it says this. But. You have a few people. Say a few people. But you have a few people. You say you're alive, you have a brand name, whatnot, but you know what? There's a few people there. You're a dead church, but there's still a few people there. These people are there who have not soiled their garments, and they will walk with me in a while, for they are worthy. There's always people. There's always people. And God told me that even though the church at large is dead, meaning they don't have the Spirit of God in it, the Spirit of God has left, the Lord told me that there are still a remnant. There is still a remnant there. There are still his sons and daughters that are in these institutions, that are in these churches, that have visited and gone from church to church or in and out or whatever. And they are discouraged. They are disenchanted. They are stirred in their spirits for more. They are wanting more. They don't know what it is. They're just being stirred. They see everything that's happening around them, all the stuff that's happening. These are the few. So this message, in essence, this morning, this message about exiting the dead church is really just for the few. It's really only for the few, because they are the remnant. They are these few people out of Sardis Church. These few people, others are not going to bear witness with their spirit. You understand? This message can go everywhere. You can talk to people about it, but it's not going to bear witness with everybody. You could talk to, if I had access to every church and every congregation just to share this, there's only ever going to be a few. Are you listening to me? There's only ever going to be a few that are going to bear witness with what you're saying. Everybody else, they're going to call you crazy. They're going to call you religious. They're going to call you self-righteous or hypocritical, or think that you think you're all that and this and that. They're going to come against you just like they have always done. Are you listening to what I'm saying? They turn it around and they make it about you. But it's not. Because it's not meant for everybody. But the remnant, you that are sitting here, the remnant, they are the few. You are the few. You see the machine. You see the show. You see the actors. You see that religious spirit. You see the manipulation. You see the money, the hungry, the grabbing for money. You see the control. You see that very few people in these places are actually disciples of Jesus Christ. They're just churchgoers. You see that. You see how people groups that they turn away don't fit into their profile. They only want a certain kind of people attending their church. That kind that looks successful. That kind that has the same image. That kind that looks like them, that fits in, that won't be a problem, that won't cause any hangups in their machine. Are you listening to me? This is what they are. But you see that. And people, the few, the remnant, see it. And those are the ones being stirred by God. Those are the ones in all these churches, believe me when I tell you, they are the ones that are being stirred. They are the ones that are going to be coming out. You're going to cross paths with. You're going to have conversations with. They're going to share with you. It's going to open up. Don't miss the opportunity when that opens up, because you're going to be sharing with them what they're feeling is this. This is what you're feeling. It's the Spirit of God. Where you are, the Spirit's departed. And the Spirit of God's stirring you because you're one of the few. Say few. Number four, how do you know when it's time to exit? Number four, you're encouraged to worship God your way. These churches, because they're built around you, they straight out tell you, worship God the way you want to worship God. Can I just tell you, y'all need to get rid of that. Go ahead, look at me. I'm telling you, y'all need to get rid of that. You need to reject that. You need to renounce that thought that you should worship God according to how you want to worship God. According to what makes you comfortable, how you're comfortable. I don't like doing this. I don't like doing that. I'm not comfortable with this. I'm not comfortable with that. I'm going to worship God my way. Everybody should worship God their way. That, ladies and gentlemen, is not in the Bible. It's nowhere in the Bible. Nowhere in the entire Bible does that say that the people of God should worship God, can worship God the way they want to worship God. Nowhere does it say that. You can't find it. It won't be there. You could do a study. It's not going to ever tell you, worship God the way you feel you should worship God. It doesn't say it. On the contrary, from the very beginning to the very ending, it says worship God this way. The scriptures tell us how to worship God. It doesn't ask us about our feelings. It doesn't ask us about our personality profile. It doesn't ask us how we're doing today. It doesn't ask us what our concepts are about worship. Nowhere in scripture does it do that. The scripture from beginning to end actually tells us how to worship God. And I'm not even going to tell you because it's just everywhere. You can just open your Bible and look. Go through the Psalms. It tells you how to worship God. And then you have these churches that tell you, worship God your way. Where did they get that term? Satan. And don't you hear it out there in the world? No, we all worship God our way, our own way. You worship your God. I worship my God. We worship God our own way. And then you have Christians going, yeah, you're right. Well, as long as you worship God, you're good.
Yeah.
Am I the only one that's ever heard that?
No.
Yeah, it's okay. It's good. You worship God. We can all worship God how we want. No, that is not it. That's how you know. Get out. Okay, number five. How do you know when it's time to leave? Number five, you're in a woke church. You're in a woke church. Can I just tell you how many churches are there out there that are just woke, man? They don't stand for righteousness. They are woke. Are you listening to me? They are more in tune with the world than with God's Spirit. They're more in tune with what is happening, with what is happening in the day. They are more in tune with trying to stay hip. And I mean it. I mean it to the core of my spirit. I'm sick and tired of this crap from these churches that they all want to come across as being cool or trendy. I'm sick of it. I'm just sick of it. These churches are woke. They comply. They comply with whatever the society says, whatever the government says. They're the ones that are closing the doors during COVID. They're the ones telling their saints go home. They're the ones that went online and never came offline. Keep changing their doctrine to fit whatever's going on in society. Are you listening to what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They're afraid to take a stand. They're afraid to speak up and speak loud. They won't do it. They won't do it because they're a woke church. Number six, last one. Number six is you hesitate to leave the dead church. And I need to tell you why. So you hesitate to leave the dead church. See, I'm speaking to not just you that are here. I'm speaking to those that are way out there that cannot hear my voice, who I have no influence with. But I'm speaking to them, and I'm saying this is why you hesitate to leave the dead church. Reason number one is you are bound by a false loyalty. You are trapped by a false loyalty. You have been manipulated into false laws. Listen to what I'm saying to you, because I'm not playing. It's not mixed. I'm not thinking about where this word came from. I'm being on purpose. I'm being direct. I'm saying they manipulate you to bring you under a false loyalty. They trap you with various strategies and various ways to get you involved in their church or people so that you develop a false loyalty. So then you have a loyalty to people, you have a loyalty to leaders, you have a loyalty to ministry, you have a loyalty to the pastors. You have this loyalty, but it's false. And people will not leave a church that's dead because they're, although their spirit is stirring, although they see everything and they're going, yeah, this is, a lot of this isn't right, they will stay because they feel that by leaving, they are being disloyal. Yeah. Disloyalty, false loyalty, all manipulation. All manipulation. Are you listening to me? All manipulation. I'm going to tell you for a fact that some pastors and leaders will put people into positions to keep them. They won't even agree with them. They won't even agree with their lifestyle. They don't even like them that much. But they'll put them in positions in order to hold on to them because they tithe. I told you I wasn't going to play. False loyalty. False loyalty. Everybody has to have false loyalty. When you're leaving something, even whatever it is, everybody has to have false loyalty. You have to figure out whether it's manipulation. All loyalty is not real. Especially men. We deal with this more than women. That false loyalty. Can I just tell you? The Lord woke me up. Talk to me. Tell me about this whole thing. And he told me, Eddie, you're trapped. You've been hooked by false loyalty. Those are the words. He told me that. Back there in that closet. Eddie, you've been hooked by false loyalty. Tell me that. I'm passing it on. Break that. Just break it. Leave it. Get out. Break the soul tie. Yes, I said it. Break the soul tie. Break the soul tie with the people. Break the soul tie with the church. Break the soul tie. You need to be able to leave and go on. Just like any other soul tie you break, break that one too. Some of the strongest soul ties that people have, this isn't even preached. I don't even know why it's not preached. But some of the strongest soul ties that people have are church soul ties. And I'm giving you permission, everybody in this room, if you haven't done it yet, do it. Next time you're in prayer home, go down to every church and every ministry you've been a part of. If you weren't a part of it, don't worry about it. But if you're a part of it, break the soul tie. Just say in the name of Jesus, I break the soul tie with ba 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 ba. Do that. You need to break that just like you do with any other bad soul tie. Number two, why do they don't leave the dead church? Number two, fear of man. They fear man. They fear, what does that mean? They have the fear of man. That means that they are too concerned about what people are going to say or think about them. They're too concerned with what people are going to say, what people are going to think. You're too concerned. But see, that's on you. You're too concerned. That points to you. That points to your need. That points to a need you have you need to destroy within yourself. You're too concerned with what they're going to say. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you something I learned in leadership and leadership training. It doesn't matter. The people that talk about you when you rise to the top are the same people that talk about you when you fall. They're not different people. They're the same people. The same people that see you going up, talking behind your back, yada, yada, yada. They want to bring you down. And when you're down, they're the same people talking. They're not rejoicing with you. Well, they're sort of. But they're talking about you the same way. Oh, well, you know, whatever. You understand what I'm talking about? Fear of man. You got to get past the fear of man, you guys. You're here, so that's great. But get past the fear of man. Get past what people think and feel about you. Please, just... It's so bad out there. People have meltdowns, literal meltdowns, if somebody doesn't agree with them. Are you listening? Do not, any of you in this room, do not be that. Do not have a meltdown because somebody disagrees with you. Stop doing that. Everybody doesn't have to agree. Everybody's not going to agree. And so let it be to the point where you don't allow it to affect you, but you just say, don't God agree? I'm still right. I'm still right. I just gave you permission to do something. You guys didn't catch that. You can still say, I'm right. Just say it to yourself when you walk away. Make sense? Fear of man. Stop worrying about what people feel and think about you. Lastly, why do they hesitate to leave the dead church? A lack of understanding between division and separation. They don't understand the difference between separation and division. Okay, the scripture says back in Sardis, he says, these people have a name for themselves, but I have a few. I have a few. They are separated out. Let me tell you something. People won't leave a church, a dead church, because they think by leaving a dead church, they're causing division. Because part of the manipulation machine is that they have been preached to, taught, discipled, all about don't cause division. And how you cause division, how that looks. Every church does it. I promise you, every church teaches on division. Every church. They teach on division more than the they teach on division more than the Holy Spirit. They teach on division, division, division. Don't cause division. Your words cause division. Your actions cause division. It hurts the body of Christ. Jesus said, you know, to his disciples, be one. We should always be one. And they quote all the scriptures, hogwash. There is a difference between division and separation. Division is what one causes in a body it's your intention to, because you have something and you're mad about, you're after causing division, okay? Strife and stuff like that, that's division. What's not division is separation. Separation is caused by the Holy Spirit. It says here in the Church of Sardis, it says, there are people in this congregation who are about the name. And yet there are a few who are not about the name. Are you listening to me? So it's the few he singles out and he says, these few have not soiled their garments. They haven't soiled their garments. They haven't bought into it. They're different. Here's the point. Many people won't leave a dead church because they don't understand that it is the Holy Spirit that's causing separation in churches, not division. And what these manipulating leaders and pastors call division is not division. It is their manipulation in order to hold on to people. But in reality, it is the Spirit of God that's causing the separation, because it is the Spirit of God that is separating the remnant. It is the Spirit of God that is separating the few. And it is the Spirit of God is saying to the few, get out, leave this place. It's dead. What you see is really what you see. Don't write it off. Don't pretend. Don't make excuse over it. Stop making excuses for all the crap you see in these dead churches. And the Spirit of God is saying, get out, separate yourself. That's what Paul told Timothy. And he said, do not follow these men that are like this. He wrote that at the end of that. Remember that? At the very end, he says, avoid such men. So avoiding is the separation. Avoiding is me and you saying, I'm out. I'm out. That's it. I know. I already know that one of the things you've heard and one of the things that's being said out there, I'm speaking to those who won't leave, hesitating to leave. One of the reasons you won't is because you've been told by your manipulating leaders, brother, sister, pray about it. In fact, you should pray and fast about it before you make that decision, because it can impact your life forever. And they give you that, well, they don't give you that look, but you know what I mean. You listening to me? That's what they tell you. It's manipulation. Pray about it. Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Shit, I was waiting for... Who should I obey? Man or God? Who should I obey? The Holy Spirit or my leader? But wait a minute, what about the covering? That's your covering. You need to be submitted to your covering, and you can't leave unless your covering tells you you can leave. Make sure your covering is an agreement. Make sure your covering gives you the blessing to leave. And if they don't give you the blessing to leave, you know you're going to be under a curse.
Yeah. What did you say, Susan? That's a false doctrine.
Absolutely a false doctrine, so I'm bringing it up. I'm bringing it all to the surface, and I'm telling you it's all manipulation, and that's why people hesitate to leave, because although the Holy Spirit's saying leave, although the Holy Spirit's lifted the veil and they see it and they're beginning to be like disgusted and they don't like any of it, they still won't leave because of all the manipulation that's taking place in them, and they make excuses for everything. Then they hear the voice of the leader saying, pray and fast about it, don't leave just yet. You need a covering. Who's going to be your covering? Come on, just shout amen for me. Just it's not a favorite message of mine. It really is not. But I feel in my spirit as I speak it, I feel like it's more of a rebuke than anything else. But also, I'm sure if anybody hears this, because you know, I have access to millions across the world. Because I have a name. Oh my gosh. Okay. Anyway, I guess we should pray.